Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Tzadi Dalet. We left off two lines from the bottom of the page on Tzadi Gimlam Beis. We are at Amar Lei Lo Lididi Kasha. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Also anonymously for Refuah Shleima for Daniel Yagen Ben Karen Eliza. Also by Ellen and Avi Freilich in commemoration of Avi's father's yard site, Rabbi Yitzchak Freilich, Rabbi Yitzchak Dov Ber Avram. Rav Yitzchak Dov Ben Rav Avram Yaakov Alav Shalom, whose yard site is tomorrow, and by Daniel Cohn in honor of his grandfather's yard site, Manny Middleman Pinchas Elimelech Ben Yaakov Shmuel Alav Shalom, which is today, the Neshama Shavin Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we left off Mamish right in the middle of a discussion. We had asked a stira between the Shitos of Ula and Rav Yehuda with regard to what's considered Derech Rechoka. When do you have to be able to get back by the Shah Shchita or by the Shas Achila, versus what they said as far as being shochet for a Tameh Sheret. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to answer that double stira, and then we're going to say a few more details about Derech Rechoka. But the primary teaching of today's daf is Rava tells us about the thickness of the sky and the distance that the sun travels. And the Gemara is going to try to disprove each of Rava's chidushim, and then the Gemara is going to tell us about two different disputes that happened between the Chachmei Umos HaOlam and the Chachmei Yisrael. And the Gemara is going to tell us that it seems that the Chachmei Umos HaOlam had it right in terms of the scientists, had it right in terms of how the sun and the sky work. The daf is going to conclude with a few more points about Derech Rechoka, including whether a person is required to make an extra effort to avoid being on a Derech Rechoka, and different sources for more limited definition of what a Derech Rechoka might mean. So let's begin again. We are at Amar Leh, but just to remind ourselves what the Amar Leh is responding to. We had a machlokas between Ula and Rav Yehuda. Someone who's Bederech Chokah is Pater, but Bederech Chokah means he's at a certain distance where he can't get back. But can't get back by when? Can't get back by the Shas Shchita, or can't get back by the Shas Achila? So Ula said Shas Shchita, and Rav Yehuda said Shas Achila. We also had a machlokas in Daf Tzadi Yom Beis between Rav Yehuda and Ula, whether you're allowed to be makriv a Karban Pesach for someone who's Tamei Sheretz. Now, someone who's Tamei Sheretz cannot become tar by Shas Shchita, but he will be tar by Shas Achila. By Shas Achila will be available. So that's why it's a double stira. Because according to Rav Yehuda, you're not allowed to shecht for someone who's. Meaning, the way the Gemara said it is that Ula said the didach kasha that Rabbi said to Ula the didach kasha the Rav Yehuda kasha. It's a kasha both on you and on Rav Yehuda, because you Ula hold that anyone is not able to be nichnas b'shas shchita is considered to be b'derech rechoka, but a tameh sheretz is also not able to be available b'shas shchita, and you had no problem shechting for a tameh. He's not going to be okay till Shas Achila. And Rav Yehuda said that anyone who's not able to enter B'Shas Achila is considered Derech Rechoka. But Rav Yehuda said that a Tamei Sheretz that who's able to be there B'Shas Achila, you're not allowed to be Mita, you're not allowed to Shech to Karban Pesach for. Why not? He's going to be perfectly available B'Shas Achila. So it's to that double stira that the Gemara answers two lines from the bottom of the page. Amalei Ula responds back to Rabbah, Lo Lididi Kasha, V'lo Rav Yehuda Kasha. It's not a Kasha on me, nor a kasha and Rav Yehuda lididi lo kasha derech rechoka latahar ve'ein derech rechoka latame. The patur of derech rechoka that the Torah gives doesn't apply to a person who's tamei sheretz, meaning ein achinami. The tamei sheretz person only has to get back b'shas achila, but the patur the derech rechoka person only has to get back b'shas achila, but the person who's tamei sheretz doesn't have that patur of derech rechoka. He has different criteria. He has to be ready by Shas Shchita, and if he's not going to be ready by Shas Shchita, then that's not good enough. So he's not included in the Patur of Derech Rechoka, which is Talui on the, did I say it backwards? The which is Talui on the Shas Shchita, but rather on the Shas Achila. Because when it says Tamei L'Nefesh, the Torah tells us about Tuma Dafka by Tumas Meis, which is a longer Tuma, it's a 7-day Tuma, and that's why he's not even going to be available by Shas Achila. The Torah doesn't give me an example of a Tamei Sheretz, where the guy will be available by Shas Achila. So it must be that the Patur of Tuma is Talui on the Shas Achila. I may have said it backwards. That the Patur of Tuma is Talui on the Shas Achila. So Tamei Sheretz is not going to be a problem by Shas Achila. He's going to be perfectly fine. But the Patur of Derech Rechoka is Talui on the Shas Shchita. The Rav Yehuda lo kasha, and it's not a stira in Rav Yehuda either, because even though Rav Yehuda holds that Derech Rechoka means someone who's not able to get back by Shas Achila, Tamei Sheretz Rachmana Dachya. But nevertheless, someone who's Tamei Sheretz, even though he will be able to be available B'Shas Achila, but the Torah goes out of its way to tell me that a Tamei Sheretz is ineligible for Karban Pesach. Dichsiv, because the Pasuk tells us, Ish, Ish, Ki Yeh Tamei L'Nefesh, and Milo Askinan, Shechal Shviyusha Lios Berav Pesach. It just tells me someone who has Tumas Meis, but it doesn't tell me at what stage in the process he is in his Tumas Meis. So doesn't it include even a guy on his last day of Tumas Meis, where by that night he's going to be fine and he's going to be able to be tar by that night? And still, still the Torah is telling me that he's not allowed to bring Karban Pesach. So you see from there that a Tamei Sheretz, who's in the same boat as a guy who's Tamei Meis on his last day, on his seventh day, is also not allowed to have Karban Pesach. So it's not a stira in Rav Yehuda either. So that finishes up the question that we left off with yesterday. So now, the Mishnah said that according to Rabbi Akiva, someone who's beyond Modiim on Erev Pesach at Chatzos is considered to be Bederech Rechoka. So Bryce is going to teach us two halachos with the fi shitas Rabbi Akiva. Tan Rabbanan, haya omid chutz la Modiim. A person is at Chatzos Hayom on Erev Pesach beyond Modiim. He's in a Derech Rechoka. But v'yachol ikanis besusim pradim. But he has faster modes of transportation. So he's able to get to Yerushalayim in time. So Yachal Yechayiv, I might think that he's Chayiv because he's not Bederech Rechoka. For him, Talmud Lomar Bederech Lo Haya. That's why the Pasuk says Bederech Lo Haya, that he's Chayiv Kareis only if he was not Bederech, meaning only someone who was not Bederech Rechoka. Vahala Haya Bederech. This guy is Bederech Rechoka. As far as the distance is concerned, it's Derech Rechoka, even though as far as his ability to cover that distance, he'll be able to make it. But the din of Derech Rechoka is a matter of distance. Similarly, person is much closer to the Modiim, but he's just very slow. He's not going to be able to make it in time. I might think he's not Chayiv Karis. That anyone who's not Bederech Rechoka is going to be Chayiv Karis. And this guy is not Bederech Rechoka, even though he has no way of being able to get there in time. So this is always a bit of a controversy by each halacha, that you have something that's a question of distance. If you're this far away, so when do we assume that if you have a fast car and you're able to, you have a train, you have a plane, that you're able to get there very quickly, when do we assume that derech is a function of distance, and when do we assume derech is a function of time? So you have a few different areas in halacha where this comes up. There's a halacha in Hilchas Avelus in Yordea Simon Shin Ayin Hay, that if someone loses a relative and he doesn't know until he comes to the city where the relative died, so if he was B'makom Karov, he was within 10 parcels, which is the amount of distance that can normally be covered in one day, that a person could travel in one day, like we saw yesterday and we're going to see again today. So then he counts together with the rest of the Avelim that are already sitting in Shiva. There's Machlokas Achronim. What if he's further than 10 parcels away, but he's able to get there in one day on a train? Does he count with them, or does he count his own Shiva from when he finds out about the Misa, and that's when his Shiva starts? So does he just go with the rest of the family? So the Shol Meshiv in Madura Kama, Chela Gimel Simon Kuf Gimel, writes that that's not considered a Mahalich Yom Echad. We always go based on the Derech HaTeva, not based on Tachbulos Shenischat Shubizmanenu, not based on these other ways of being able to get past these great distances in short amounts of time. And that's what Shlomo Kluger writes in Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo as well. In the Tshuvas Elef Lecha Shlomo, Yardea Simon Shintes, he also writes the same. In the Makar Chaim, however, he disagrees. He says, by Avelus, it's totally on your ability to get there. And he says, Araya, from our Sugya, that by Avelus it's tali on your actual ability to travel, and he proves it from our sugya, because by Karban Pesach we learn from a pasuk that it's not tali on susim upradim. So it sounds like it's a special exception by Karban Pesach where it's purely a matter of distance and not a matter of your ability to travel. It sounds like everywhere else it is a matter of your ability to travel. You have a similar machlokas when it comes to netilas yadayim. Shulchan Aruch paskins in Aruch Chaim Sim Kuf Samach Gimel that if a person doesn't have water available, berichuk dalid meal in front of him, or one meal behind him, so then he should be notal yadayim b'mapa and eat the bread or something that's tibula b'mashka in that way. So there's a discussion. What's considered availability of water? Is it the amount of time that it would normally take to walk dalid meal, or is it the amount of distance of dalid meal? Dalid meal is not that far, but We already had a halacha about that. What daf was that on? I don't remember. But we already had a discussion about that, about traveling Dalid Memvav, I think it was, about traveling Dalid Mil and for Tefillah. So you have that same discussion. There's also discussion when it comes to Birchas Hagomel, that whole Chay Drachim, that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the Mechaber Paskins for Svardim, that is, if they travel a Parsa, so they bench Gomel. So is that a Shir Parsa or a Shir Hiluch Parsa? Is it the amount of time or the amount of space? So you have this comes up all the time in a number of different contexts. Okay, so now says the Gemara. Rava tells us a chiddush in how the world runs. Amar Rava, Shita Alfi Parsi Havi Alma. The size of the world is 6,000 parsaus. That's the size of the planet. Visumch de Rikia Alfi Parsa, and the thickness of the sky is 1,000 parsa. Chadu Gemara, one of these things he has as a tradition of Chadu Svara, and one of these teachings he has based on a Svara alone. So Svara la ki Hada Amar. So first the Gemara is going to explain how he knows the thickness of the Rikia, right? That the Sumchut the Rikia is Alfi Parsa, that which means after setting the sun travels 1,000 parsa to get through the thickness of the sky. So we focus on that, even though this is his second statement first, and then we're going to focus on his first statement and have four different attacks. Four different questions on the first statement. So, Savar Lakiyada Amar Rabbi Bar Ruchana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kama Mahalichadim Beinim Biyom. How much does an average person travel during the day? Eser Parsaus, meaning on a perfect 6 to 6 day, a person can travel during the 12 hours of the day 40 mil, 10 Parsaus, which is 40 mil. Me'alos HaShachar V'Hanetzachama Chamisha Milin. We saw yesterday from Alos HaShachar until Hanetzachama is 5 mil, and Mishkiya Sachama V'Atzesach Chavim Chamisha Milin, and another 5 mil from Shkiya until Tzeisa Kuchavim. And during those periods of the day, the sun is traveling through the thickness of the sky, trying to set. Nimtza Ovishabrikia Echel Mishishabiyom. So it turns out that the thickness of the sky, as the sun is traveling from Halos to Neit, or from Shkia to Tzeis, is 1/6 of the day, because the whole rest of the day is 30. So if you have 5 for each, for when the sun rises, 5 for when the sun sets, each of those is 1/6 of the amount of time that it takes the sun to travel throughout the whole rest of the whole rest of the world. So that's where he gets his idea. That's where Rava gets his idea. So Meisfei, the Gemara asks on Rava, wait a second, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Ov Yoshal Rukia Echad Me'asar Rabbi Yom, that the thickness of the sky is 1/10 of the day. Teida, Kam Mahalichan Adam Benini Beyom. So Rabbi Yehuda does different math. He says, how much does a person travel in a day? Eser Parsaos. From Alos HaShachar Til Tzeisa Chavim, you're right. It's 40 mil like we said yesterday. But here's where it changes. Me'alos HaShachar Ad HaNeitzachama Arba'as Milin. From Alos HaShachar until Neitzachama, not 5 mil, 4 mil. Mishkiya Sachama Atzeis Chavim Arba'as Milin. Again, 4 mil. And that's the time that it takes the sun to get through the thickness of the sky. Nimtza Ovi Yoshal Rukia Echad Me'asar B'yom. So the thickness of the sky is apparently 1/10 of the day. So Tiyufta De Rava. So that's a Kasha on Rava. Says more Tiyufta De Ula. It's also a Kasha on what Ula said yesterday, that the person travels Minyan Neitzachama Dashkia 30 mil, because according to what we're saying now, a person does not travel 30 mil from Neitz until Shkia, you travel 32 mil from Neitz until Shkia, because if it's 40 in total and you only take away 4 from Alos to Neitz and 4 from Shkia to Tzeis, so that leaves you with 32 during the rest of the day. So Tiyufta, so it's a kasha on both Rava and on Ula from Rabbi Yehuda in this Brisa. So Lematavi Tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, should we suggest that it's also a tiyufta on Rabbi Yochanan, because the Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that from Alos HaShachar until Neitzachama, a person travels 5 mil, from Shkia until Tzeitzachavim, he travels 5 mil, and that's against Rabbi Yudun the Brayser. Rabbi Yudun said it's 4 mil. So Amar Lach, no, Rabbi Yochanan would say, Anabi Yomama Huda Amri, I only said that each day, meaning from Alos HaShachar until Tzeitzachavim, a person could travel 10 parsaos. I never said how that breaks down. I never specified exactly how much of that time is between Alos and Eitz and between Shkia and Seis. It's just so I really hold like Rabbi Yehuda that it's only 4 mil in those slots. And Ula and Rava who picked up on what I said, that it's that a person travels 10 parsaos in a day, they did the math on their own and they made assumptions that I must have held that it's 5 mil in the morning, 5 mil in the evening, and 30 in between. So no, but wait a second, There's one problem. Yesterday we brought a raya that it's 5 mil, that it's not 4 mil, because we said when Lot was traveling from Alos to Nates, it was 5 mil. So I said, as we were saying the shir yesterday, how did anyone not realize the Lot must have been running? He was trying to flee. So of course it's on the next daf. So says Gemara, Le matavi tiyufta d'Rabbi Chanina, so lo vayitzu shayni. Maybe we have a tiyufta on Rabbi Chanina because of the Lot. You have a raya from the pasuk that Lot traveled five mil during that time. Says Gemara, no, he was running. Because he was running, so the Gemara raises the issue. Because he was running, he was able to cover more ground. He was being rushed out of the out of Sodom. So of course he was going to be able to cover more ground. Now this discussion about how much a person travels during the day, and the idea that it takes a distance of four mil from Shkias HaChama until Tzeis HaKochavim is a major discussion in the sugya of Zmanim. Tosos over here, a little innocent Tosos over here, raises a question that the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that the Zman of Bein HaShmashos between Shkias HaChama and Tzeis HaKochavim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is Shloshas Rivei Mil. It's three quarters of one meal. It's three quarters of a meal. And over here it's Rabbi Yehuda, same Rabbi Yehuda, and he tells me that from Shkias HaChama until Tzeis HaKochavim is 4 mil. How do you reconcile that? So Rabbi Natam suggests that there are two Shkias. There's Tchilas HaShkia and there's Sof HaShkia. At the beginning, the sun begins to enter the Ove HaRakia, and that's still Yom, meaning after Shkias HaChama, when the sun sets, it's still Vada Yom for the next 3 1/4 meal after sunset. And it's only in the last 3/4 of a meal, only then does Bein HaShmashos hit, and then Tzeis HaChavim is Tzeis HaChavim. But the Zman of Tzeis HaChavim, I mean, they're not arguing about when the first Shkias HaChama is, that you see when the sun sets. The argument is, what's the halachic, when is the halachic Tzeis HaChavim? Not arguing. We haven't said the argument yet. The Rabbeinu Tam holds, Tzeis HaChavim is a lot later than you think it is, because it's after 4 mil, not after 3/4 of a meal after Shkia. However, the Gaonim disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. The Gaonim say that Shkias HaChama happens in a moment. There's no two Shkios. It's when Shkia happens, and 3/4 of a meal later, that's Tzeis HaChavim. What do you do with our Gemara? Our Gemara says that it's 4 mil later that Tzeis HaChavim. So Maram Alshaker, in his citation of the Gaonim in Siman Sadivav, says, yeah, we're going to see soon that there's a machlokas between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Yomos Olam, where the sun goes overnight. Does it go over the sky or does it go under? And the Chachmei Yomos Olam said it goes under. The Chachmei Yisrael said it goes over. The Gemara over here is working with the Chachmei Yisrael's erroneous assumption that they assume that it goes over. So that it's rejected the halacha, because in the end the Gemara is going to say that the Chachmei Yomos Olam were correct, that the Chachmei Yisrael were not correct. The Gra famously follows the Shita of the Gaonim. What do you do with Rabbeinu Tam's Kasha? So the Gra says that no, there's a different thing. It's not based on the Chachmei Yisrael, Chachmei Yomos Olam. The reason our Gemara, which says that it's 4 mil later, is talking about a different Zman, not Tzeis HaKochavim, Yitzias Kala Kochavim, as opposed to all the Dinei Torah that we have as far as night. They're all based on Tzeis HaKochavim. They're not based on this concept of Yitzias Kala Kochavim. The Balatanya, the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, paskind like the Gra in this way. I mean, they'll probably take exceptions to phrasing it that way. But he paskind like the Gaonim, right? Also like the Gaonim as far as the Zman Eyom. And Mishnah Brura writes that a person has to be very, very careful not to do any malacha as soon as you don't see the sun anymore, because we have to assume that Bein HaShmashos starts then, like the Gaonim, and not like the Rabbeinu Tam. In Bir Halacha, he says, and you're going to tell me, what kind of new shita is this, that we have to be careful right away at Shkia, that we're not doing Malacha? Whoever heard of such a thing? He's defensive, because there were many communities in Europe where they were still doing Malacha after Shkia. They held like Rabbeinu Tam, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. He says, it's not new. The Maram Alshiger already says like this, and he quotes other early sources that say like this, so that we have to already stop doing malacha already at Shkia. So anyway, so this is the foundation, this is the basis of much of the discussion of Zmanim that you have all over the place. Okay, so now the Gemara says another challenge to Rava. So Tashema, and we're going to bring numerous challenges to Rava, even though we already tiyuftad Rava. So nevertheless, we bring many other challenges. The Rashbam writes, that sometimes you have the Rashbam later on that sometimes we bring more than one question, even though we've already finished asking, we've already rejected an opinion, because you never know when someone's going to come up with a good answer. So as a way to make sure that we have more than one kasha. Okay, so Tashma. So says, well, I'll challenge Rava from Brisa. Mitzrayim Brisa Arbas. Meaning, what was Rava's first comment? That the sun travels 6,000 parsa from sunrise to sunset. So Tashma. Mitzrayim Brisa Arbameos Parsa. Parsa. Mitzrayim was 400 parcels by 400 parcels. Mitzrayim echad mishishim b'kush. Mitzrayim was only 1/60th the size of Kush. V'kush echad mishishim ba'olam, and Kush is 1/60th the size of the rest of the world. V'olam echad mishishim began, and that's 1/60th the size of Gan. V'gan echad mishishim ba'eden, ve'eden echad mishishim began. Nimtza kol olam kulo kikuisa kedera le'gehenim. So the whole world is just like a pot cover for Gehenim, meaning it's tiny in comparison to Gehenim. So from the fact that the Brisa says that it's more than 6,000. It turns out from the Brisa that the world is way more than 6,000 parsa'os. So the space that the sun travels is way more than 6,000 parsa. So that's a kasha, and how Rava can say that the distance that the sun travels is 6,000 parsa'os. So tiyufta. So that's a kasha on Rava. So says Mara, but we're not done yet. Tashma, another kasha on Rava. The Tan de Be Eliyahu. Rabbi Nassim, whenever you have a Tan de Be Eliyahu, there's a discussion whether that means Eliyahu Navi or not. In the Be'er Sheva in Masech Sanhedrin, he says that Tan Debe Eliyahu does not mean Eliyahu Navi. It's one of the Tanaim whose name was Eliyahu. And he brings a raya from the Akdamas HaRambam to Seder's Rayim, where he mentions a Tana by such a name of Eliyahu. So, however, in the Chidah and Shema Gedolim, he rejects the raya and he says not what the Rambam means. And clearly, whenever you have a Tan Debe Eliyahu, it's Eliyahu Navi Zachar L'Tov, that it's always Eliyahu Navi. That's the story that you have in Masech HaShabbos, where the Tan Debe Eliyahu says about the woman whose husband died young, and she didn't understand why he was such a Talmud Chacham, ki chayecha v'archimecha. So it was Eliyahu, whoever taught the Talmud of Eliyahu, that challenged her and said, "Pimei nidusecha ma'atzcha, how did he act toward you while you were in need? How did he know? How was he able to zero in directly on that? Because he was Eliyahu Anavi." So he was, that's if you assume that the Talmud of Eliyahu was Eliyahu Anavi. But anyway, so Talmud of Eliyahu, Rabbi Nassim Omer, kol yishuv kulo tachas kochav echad yoshev. The entire yishuv, wherever people live on planet Earth, is all underneath Kochav Echad. Teda, Shari Adam Nosinin Bekochav Echad. And I'll bring you a raya. Look up in the sky, identify a particular star, Holech Lemizrach Omid Kenegdo. Then travel all the way to the east, and you'll see it's still exactly in the same spot in the sky that it was where you started. La Arba Ruchos Olam, travel north, south, west, wherever you want, Omid Kenegdo. It's still going to be there. Mechal, the Kol Yishuv Kulo, Tachas Kochav Echad Yoshev. So apparently, the entire world is underneath that one star. So from the fact that the Brisa says that the entire Yishuv is under Kochav Echad, it turns out that the world is way bigger than 6,000 parsa'os, because look how many stars there are in the sky. And if one star could contain the entire Yishuv, which is more than 1,000 parsa'os, the sky is not just made of six stars that are lined up tightly packed one right next to the other. There are so many stars. So clearly the sun travels, the sky is much, much bigger, and the sun travels way more than 6,000 parsa'os. So you have to say second kasha on Rava. Tashma says, we'll have another challenge to Rava. Egla, the kochav the set of stars, the mazel of Shor, Bitzafon, is in the northern side of the world. Akrav, the mazel of Akrav, is Bidarum, is on the southern side of the world. V'kali Yoshev Kulo Eino Yoshev Ela Bein Egla, V'kali Yishuv Kulo Eino Yoshev Ela Bein Egla La Akrav. And the entire Yishuv of where people live is in between those two constellations. V'kali Yishuv Kulo Eino Hove Ela Shah Achas Biyom. And the entire yishuv where people live is the size of only 1/12 of the 12 hours of the day. Shein chama nechnesas liyishuv el shah achas biyom, because where the sun is actually only directly on the yishuv in the area above the area of the yishuv where people are for 1 hour of the day. Even though we can see the sun for 12 hours of the day, 11 of those hours it's not really here. It's off to the side a little bit. It's off somewhere else, but it's only directly hitting us 1 hour of the day. Teda, how do I know that? Shevachamesh chama b'mizrach, b'shevachamesh chama b'marav. Like we saw earlier in the Masechta, that you can always tell the difference between the fifth hour of the day and the seventh hour of the day, right? We had that back on Daf Yud Aleph, right, where we discussed if someone makes a mistake, what someone is likely to make a mistake, the third hour of the day, fifth hour of the day, you might make a mistake, but between the fifth and the seventh hour of the day, you wouldn't make a mistake because on different sides of the sky. Chatzi sheish v'chatzi sheva, chama omedes, brosh kaladim. It's only for that 1 hour hour, right in the middle of the day, that the sun is directly above us. So from the fact that the Braisa says that the Yishuv, where people live, is only 1/12 of the Sholos Hayom, you see that the Midbaros, the Yamim, the Naharos, take up 11 times the amount of space that the Yishuv takes up. And since we see that the Yishuv itself is more than 1,000 parcels, it's very, very big, and the Chama travels that whole distance in only 1 hour, so the entire world has to be more than 11 times that size, which is way more than 6,000 parcels. And Rava said that the whole world is only 6,000 parcels. Tiyufta, that is question number 3 on Rava. Now question number 4 on Rava. Tashma Adam Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Machu Vejivusu Baskol La'osa Russia. What was the response that the Baskol had to that Russia? That Russia is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. So a Baskol is not a Nevuah, it's not a Malach, it's a Kol that informs Min HaShamayim. So the Baskol said, B'shar Sha'amar, at the time that Nebuchadnezzar said in his great Gaiva, El El B'masayav Adam El Elyon, that he said Adam El Elyon, that he shouldn't be living together with mere mortals down here on earth. So he's going to make a little cloud up in the sky, and he's going to go above the Shiva Rekiyim, and he's going to sit up there, and he's going to be similarly, he's going to be Adam El Elyon. So Yatza Baskol the Amrlo, Baskol came out and said, Russia ben Benoshel Nimrod HaRusha. You Russia, the son of a Russia, the descendant of Nimrod HaRusha, Shimer is Kololam Kulo Alay B'Malchuso, who caused the entire world to rebel against me in his Malchus. Kamash Nosef Shaladim, how much does a person live? How many years does a person live? Shivim Shana, typically 70 years, if a person's lucky, even B'Gvuros, Shmonim Shana. And you know, it's unheard of for a person to live more than 80 years. We should, you know, always be thankful to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We live in such a generation where life expectancy is so much more than it ever was. Nowadays, if someone dies when they're 80 years old, they say, he was such a young person. He was so vibrant still. He was still going to the gym every day. He was still, that was unheard of. B'gvur shmonim shana. V'mgvur shmonim shana min ha'aretz ad l'rekia. The distance from the Arz to the Rekia is 500 years. You're only going to be on this earth for some amount of time, for some small amount of time. You want to get above the seven Rekia, from the Arz to the first Rekia is 500 years. And the thickness of that Rekia is 500 years. And it's 500 years of travel between each Rekia. Between each and every Rekia. So instead, you're going to go to the depths of the earth, and you're going to stay in a deep bar. So from the fact that the Braisa says from the Arutz until the Rekia is a distance that takes 500 years to travel, we have a Kasha and Rava, because if the height of the world is 500 years of traveling, so we assume that the length is also, because the Gemara in Chagiga tells us that Kegovo Kach Orcho, that it's the same distance from one end to the other end as it is from the earth to the sky. So if that's that, it's 500 years distance of travel, that's a lot more than 6,000 parsos. Tiyufta, that's the final Tiyufta and Rava. Wait, Nebuchadnezzar, was he actually a Ben Benoshel Nimrod HaRusha? Did he descend from Nimrod? So Rashi writes over here, nah, he wasn't really Ben Benoshel Nimrod HaRusha. He wasn't a grandson of Nimrod, but he was Mizaro Shel Nimrod. He was a descendant in some way. Tosos Maseches Chagiga on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says that he wasn't Mizaro Shel Nimrod either, because Cush was Yoladus Nimrod, and we don't find that Nebuchadnezzar was Mizaro Shel Cush. When it says Ben Benoshel Nimrod HaRusha, it means that he behaved like Nimrod. He was also Melech Beshinar. He behaved and he had certain similar experiences to Nimrod. The Turi Evin Chagiga says that it's dachuk to say that this was only about the way he behaved, because the Gemara should not have called him Ben Beno. Sometimes you find someone is described as a Ben Torah, a Ben this, but we don't find Ben Beno Shel of a particular person as someone who just behaves like that person. We would say Ben Gilo. Ben Gilo means he's similar to, but you wouldn't find Ben Beno, meaning Achashverosh is called Ben Gilo Shel Nebuchadnezzar. Right? A little Daf Yom quiz. Achashverosh is compared to Nebuchadnezzar in the Gemara Megillah. Why? Because he's similar to Nebuchadnezzar. So it said that's Al Shei Ma'asav, but you don't find Ben Beno used in that context. So that's what the Tori Evin says, Bidas Rashi, that he must have been Mizaro Shel Nimrod on his mother's side, if he's being described as Ben Beno Shel Nimrod, even if it wasn't on his on his father's side. Okay, so let's see the Gemara Vayitin now. So Tanu Rabbanan. Now going back to our previous, well, not yet, a little bit more about the sky. So there was a debate between the Chachmei Musa Olam and the Chachmei Yisrael on two counts. Chachmei Yisrael Omrim, Galgal Kavua Umazolos Chozrin, the Chachmei Musa Olam Omrim, Galgal Chozer Umazolos Kavuin. The Jewish scholar said that the zodiac doesn't move, but the constellations move around it, and the Chachmei Musa Olam said that the zodiac revolves around the constellations. Constellations say the same, and the zodiac revolves around the constellations. So that's one. So Amar Rabbi Tshuva LeDevrayhem, that I have a tshuva to the Chachmei Musa Olam, May Olam LeMetzinu Agala B'Dor Makra B'Tzafon, that how come we never find that the set of stars called Agala, the Mazel of Agala, is never in the south side of the sky, and the Akrav is never in the north side of the sky. You always see Agala B'Tzafon, Akrav B'Darom. But if the Agala is Mistovev, it's always moving around, so it should take the Mazalos along with it to all the different sides of the sky. So we should sometimes see it in different spots. So Maskav Racha Bar Yaakov, V'dilma Kubutzina D'Rechaya, says, no, we have things on earth that could explain that. A Butzina D'Rechaya Inami Kitzinura D'Dasha. Either a piece of metal in a millstone, or like a door in a door jamb, meaning in a pivot, meaning that sometimes you have two things that are connected to each other, and when one of them moves, the other one still stays the same. You have a pivot on a door, so the door swings on the pivot, even though they're connected to each other, the pivot stays even as the door swings. So it says you have a wheel set into a stone, you can move the wheel, and the stone is still staying the same. So it shouldn't be such a kasha that on the Chachmei Musa Olam. The second discussion between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Musa Olam, Chachmei Yisrael Olam, B'yom Cham Malachas Lamata Min Arakia, or B'layla L'mayla Min Arakia, that during the day we see the sun traveling because it's underneath the sky. At night you don't see the sun anymore because it's traveling over the sky. It sets and then goes over the entire world. Chachmei Musa Olam Omrim, B'yom Cham Malachas Lamata Min Arakia, or B'layla L'mata Min Akarka. And the Chachmei Musa Olam said, no, during the day you see the sun because it's going beneath the sky, so you could see it lower than the sky, and at night it's going beneath the earth, it goes under us, so that's why we don't see it. Amar Rabbi V'nirin Divrehem Midvareinu, that they are more correct than we are. Shebiyom Mayanos Tzonin Balayla Rotchin, that during the daytime the Mayanos, the natural springs, are cold because the sun is so far from them, but at night, since the sun is going under the earth, the sun is heating up the natural springs, and that's why the natural springs get hot at night. So that's why the Chachmei Musa Olam are correct. Tan Rabbi Nosnom Rabbi Yosef Chama Chama Malachas Begove Shalukia Leficha Kol Olam Kula Rotech. During the summertime, the sun travels at the height of the sky, and therefore the whole world is hot. Umayanos Tzonin, but the Mayanos are cold. Bimosa Geshamim Chama Malachas Bishipulei Rukia. It goes closer to the dome of the sky. Leficha Kol Olam Kula Tzonin. So that's why the whole world is cold. But the Mayanos Rotchin, but the Mayanos become very very hot. So it sounds from the Gemara that the Chachmei Yisrael are not always correct, that when it comes to scientific issues, they disagree with the Chachmei Musa Olam, and we admit our mistakes, and the Chachmei Musa Olam are sometimes correct. Not all Rishonim learn like that, though. Some of the Rishonim say, remember we said before that the Maram Al-Shukr says, the reason that we don't paskin like our Gemara, as far as the Zmanim, as far as how long it takes to get to Tzeisek Chavim, is because our Gemara is assuming like the Chachmei Yisrael, and the Chachmei Yisrael were incorrect. But Rabbeinu Tam is Lushitasa, because the Shittim Gubetzas, in Mesechus Ksubis, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that the Chachmei Yisrael were correct. It's just that we can't explain everything to them, meaning that there are a lot of things that are not nigla, and things that are not nigla to be explained can't be. So we give whatever terutzim we can give, but we can't really get into. They don't have the kelim to understand everything in its deepest level. But really, the Chachmei Yisrael are correct. Meaning, what does it mean that they're correct? Probably not that it's not really describing the physical reality. We know what the physical reality is, but there are much loftier things that are being described over here. So it's not that the Chachmei Yisrael are incorrect, it's that what they were actually describing cannot be shared in an easy way, in a simple way. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Barba Shvilin Chama Malachas. The sun travels on four different paths. Nisan, the year of Sivan, Malachas, Baharim. During the months of Nisan, the year in Sivan, it goes in the mountains, Kedele Fasher, Sashlag, in order to melt the snow that's on the mountaintops. And during the months of Tammuz of the Elul, during the hot summer months, the end of the summer, it's Malachas, Biyishuv, Kedele Vashal, Saperos. It goes in the Yishuv in order to ripen the fruits. And Tishrei Marchashvan Kislev, during Tishrei Marchashvan Kislev, Malachas, Halachas B'yam Kedei Liyabish Asan Aros. It goes by the Yamim in order to dry up the rivers. And Teves Shvat and Adar. Oh, this is Daf Yomi Quinsas mentions Adar. I'm just joking. In Teves Shvat and Adar, it's Malachas B'Midbar. It travels in the Midbar. Shalol Liyabish Asas Raim. Not to dry up the Zraim too much. Reb Lazar Omer Me Iskofes. So okay, now back to the discussion about what's considered Daruk Kachoka. So Reb Lazar said in the Mishnah, from the Askofes Hazar V'Lachutz is considered to be a Daruk Kachoka, and you're potter from making a carbon, from bringing carbon pesach. Just being outside the Azara is far enough away that you don't have to bring carbon pesach. So says Mar V'Alfgav Dematzi Ayil V'Lar Minu Leikum Ayil. The guy's one step out of the Azara. He's able to walk in. We don't tell the guy, hey, just step in, take a step inside. You can bring carbon pesach. V'Atanya, but doesn't the Brisa tell us Yehudi Arel Shalomol? If you have a Jew that is an Arel that didn't have a Bris Mila, Enos Karis Div Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds his Chayiv Karis for that. So you see from Rabbi Eliezer that we tell the Arel, go get yourself a Mila, because otherwise you're not going to be able to be Makar of the Karban Pesach, and he's going to be Chayiv Kares. So why does Rabbi Eliezer say in our Mishnah that we don't tell the guy who's standing outside of the Azara, just get into the Azara, so you're not going to be Chayiv Kares? So I'm Rabbi, Derech Rechok Letar, Vein Derech Rechok Letame. Phrase we had earlier in the Daf, that the Patur of Derech Rechok is only applies to a person who's Tar, and that the only problem that he has is that he's Derech Rechok. So that's a Gzeres HaKasav for anyone who's outside of the Azara, even though he's able to enter and he chooses not to enter. That's what we learned from Richuk, that we're going to have a Gzeres Shavu from Meiser, that we learned such a halacha. So we don't tell him he has to come in, but by a Tame or an Arel, the Torah doesn't pater him because he's B'derech Rechok, it's because he has some other problem, because he's not able to eat the Karban Pesach. And by that Patur, we don't learn any special Gzeres HaKasav that he doesn't have to fix the problem. So by that Patur, he actually has to fix the problem. He doesn't have the Patur of Derech Rechok. Rava Amar Tanaihi, that it's Machlokas Tanaim, what Rabbi Eliezer even held. Does being right outside of the Azara constitute a Derech Rechok? Titanya Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Nemar, Richuk Makam B'Pesach. It says, Richuk Makam, with regard to the Patur of bringing a Karban Pesach, it says, O B'Derech Rechok Lechem, that person is too distant. V'Nemar, Richuk Makam B'Meiser. And it says, Richuk Makam, when it comes to Meiser Sheni, to be pulled to Meiser Sheni, that if you're too far, that if you're not far enough away, if you're far enough away, you could be pulled to Meiser Sheni. But if you're not far enough away, you cannot be pulled to Meiser Sheni. So Malalan, just like by Meiser, what's considered a Derech Rechok, where you're able to be pulled to, that's Chutz Lachiloso, that's beyond Yerushalayim, beyond the place you're allowed to eat Meiser Sheni. So Afkan, so over here also, by the Patur of Derech Rechok of Karban Pesach, it's Chutz Lachiloso. It's where outside of the space where you're allowed to eat the Karban Pesach, which is outside of Yerushalayim. But if you're in Yerushalayim, even if you're outside of the Azara, this version of Rabbi Eliezer says, you're not B'Derech Rechok. Derech Rechok means outside of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, another version in Tanaim of what Rabbi Eliezer says, Chutz Asiyaso. No, Derech Rechok of Karban Pesach means outside of the Azara, where they're Oseh, the Karban Pesach. And that's also from the Gzeres Shavah based on Meiser, that just like Meiser is considered Makom Rachok, when it's Chutz Makom Hechshero, outside of the place where the mitzvah is primarily done, and Meiser Sheni, the mitzvah is a Yerushalayim mitzvah. It's to bring the Meiser Sheni and eat it in Yerushalayim. Karban Pesach is primarily an Azara mitzvah. So when it's outside of its place, that's considered to be Derech Rechok. So you already have a Machlokas Tanoim, what Rabbi Eliezer holds. That one sheet holds that Rabbi Eliezer holds Derech Rechok doesn't help if you're outside of the Azara. It's only if you're outside of Yerushalayim. And if you're outside of the Azara, we tell you step inside of the Azara so that you can do it. So that might be the sheet of the Tana of the Brisa that we said before in the name of Rabbi Lazar, that an Arel is Chayiv Kares, because we tell him, go and get a Bris Mila. Because you do see that there's such a Shita that Rabbi Eliezer, that there's such an understanding within Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, that if someone is outside of the Azara, we will tell him to come inside of the Azara so you can do the Karban Pesach. So Kaman Azal Hadam Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Hadam Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Bitmeim, Halei who's Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yosef following when he says that when we're doing our cheshbonos of whether the Karban Pesach is going to be Doche Tuma, and we have to know, is Rov Klal Yisrael Tameh or is Rov Klal Yisrael Tar, who do we count in that poll of Rov Klal Yisrael? It's only those who are Omdim Ba'azara, that if Rov of them are Tameim, even though most of Klal Yisrael is Tar outside of the Azara, will do the Karban Pesach B'tuma, because anyone who's outside the Azara is a Peturah of Derech Chok anyway, so they don't get cheshbind into this. So who says such a shita? Keman, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah, Shammai Shem, Rabbi Elazar. That's that version of Rabbi Eliezer that holds that anyone who's outside the Chomos HaZara is considered to be standing b'Derech Chokha. Amar Rabbi Yosef l'fichach. So Rabbi Yosef says, and that's why you have a dot on the hay in the Torah to tell me that it doesn't really mean Rechokha. Tanya, Rabbi Yosef l'li Amar Derech Shomea ani mahalich shayim o'shol shiyam. From the phrase Derech Chokha, I would think it's a 2 or 3 day journey. Kishu Amar u'b'Derech lo haya. When it says u'b'Derech lo haya, and it doesn't say b'Derech Rechokha lo haya, magid shomea skufas ha'azar v'lechutz kare Derech. You see from there that already outside of the Azara is considered to be a Derech. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up Tzadi Yemen Aleph at the top of the page. Have a great day.